Oh, thank you, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Come on, let's clap our hands for Jesus this morning. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, I just want to say how proud I am of Ben also, did his leadership. And aren't y'all blessed with a great pastor, everybody? And yeah, Pastor Terry. You know, we knew Pastor Terry before we moved to Alabama, kind of from a distance. And he's very respected in this city and around the world. And but now that we've gotten to know them better, because Ben stole my daughter, and no, I actually gave her away. You know, I have such a higher respect for him now that I know him. You know, sometimes when you get to know people, your respect level goes down a little bit. Well, let me tell you, he's a fine pastor, fine man. It's my privilege to be with you this morning, and happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I do have plans for Thanksgiving. I know you want to invite me to your house for Thanksgiving, but I do have plans already, and I wish you the best. But I'm delighted to be here, to be with my family, Lissa, and everybody, and also my sons with us this morning, my nephew, Brandon, both single, sharp-looking young men. And so if the Lord leads you to connect in any way, let the Lord lead you, you know. And sat down next to Alabama fans, of all places, in Louisiana, found my family right here. And so anyway, I also wanted to thank you for your generosity with Huntsville. When we experienced the devastating tornado that tore through our city, the northern part of our city, the lights were out in Huntsville for a week. We were stranded with no gasoline and low on supplies because we couldn't leave the city. We were stuck. And my brother drove up and met us and brought us some generators. And but we couldn't find any gasoline. And so Ben loaded up his truck with about 1,000 gallons of fuel. Let me tell you what, that was a dangerous trip up there. One little cigarette had blown up, but we were so grateful. He showed up with gasoline. We filled our tanks up with gasoline, and we were able to get out and help people, take food to people, and then you sent supplies, and we'll never forget that. Thank you very much for helping us during that season. It blessed a lot of people. At every home, we took supplies that you sent to Huntsville. We asked them at the end, would you mind if we prayed for you? It's amazing. Not one person turned us down, you know. Oh, no, yeah, pray for us. And, you know, people be praying, hey, man, pray for my daughter. She's across the street, and pray for my uncle, you know. So we prayed for people, and so many people were blessed. But also, I'm delighted to be here just to see you and to be here. This is a great church. I feel like God has given me a word this morning that's going to encourage you and add value to your life. Today, I want to talk to you about your place. Everybody say, my place. And God has a place for each one of us, and He wants us to understand what place He has provided for us so that we value that place. And a couple of weeks ago, I was playing volleyball, and I broke this finger, and I went up, and I'd blocked a shot, and I was feeling good about it. Like, okay, I blocked one shot. And so I went up again and blocked another shot. I was feeling really good about it. Well, the guy that I was blocking was getting a little bit upset that I was blocking his shots. So he came down hard on that third one. Let me tell you, I blocked the shot again, but it just cost me a finger, you know. And so anyway, I went to the hospital because the finger was pointed back the opposite way, you know. And I was like, oh, that doesn't look right. And I think I'm going to have that looked at. So I went to the hospital, and they'd had a couple people come through. And they were, you know, they'd sprung an ankle and everything. But mine was a real fracture. So they're like, yes, hey, everybody, we got a real fracture here. You know, it was like five places. It was broken in five places. But the bones were all out of place. The finger was pointing the other. And it just did not function well. And, you know, when we get out of place, our life does not function the way it ought to function. When we get out of the place that God has provided for us, things don't work like God intended them to work. And you know, God created us. He breathed life and destiny, purpose into us. And when we get out of the place that He wants us to be in, life just does not make sense. And it does not work. Now, this finger, it's starting to work a little bit better, but still it needs a process of healing. And so this morning we're gonna work through a process to get back to the place to where hopefully our thinking is right, and that after you leave the service today, the process will begin to where you're back in the place where God wants you to be. I want us to look at a couple of scriptures together out of 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, then I'm going to read verse 17 out of another version also. But in 2 Peter, if you have your iPhones, iPads, Bibles, whatever you have, pause Candy Crush just a second, and let's read the Bible. Okay, everybody? Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. So Peter is telling the church, he said, now be on guard so that you're not carried away in error from the secure position or the place that God has given you. He said, be on alert. He said, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he said, okay, here's what you do. Be careful not to be moved from your position, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. So by God's grace today, he's going to give us some revelation that will keep us from being moved from the secure position he has for us. In verse 17 in the New Living Translation says, I'm warning you ahead of time. Dear friends at Victory, I'm warning you ahead of time. Be on guard, so that you will not be carried away by the errors of the wicked people and lose your own secure footing. You know, when we get out of the place that God has for us in several areas of our life, we're going to look at five areas of our life where God wants us to be and the place He wants us to be. But when we get out of where He wants us to be, we lose our secure footing. Things don't work. Our finger does not work well. Our marriage does not work well. Life is not working like it He intended it to be if we're not in the place He wanted us to be or He wants us to be. So everybody say with me, my place. God wants to lead me to my place, but the devil is trying to lure me away or keep me from my place. So today, if you're here and you're not in a relationship with God, God wants you to know that He has a place for you. Maybe you're not even in, maybe this is your first time to be in church in a long, long time. Hey, we're so glad you're here today. Welcome, we're glad you're here. If you've been away from God for a long time, today you decided to come to church, we're so glad you're here. God wants you to know that He has a place for you. And so let's start looking at a couple of reasons why we're not in the place that we should be. And then I'm going to give you five places that we should stay and stay firm in so that we don't lose our footing. First of all, one of the reasons we get out of the place that we're supposed to be in is because of weariness. We just get tired. You know, we just get tired. The battle, spiritual warfare, you know, we've forgiven our neighbor a lot of times, and now we're no longer in forgiveness. And somehow, some way, we just get weary. You remember the verse where God says, do not be weary in well-doing. If you don't quit, if you hang in there, you'll reap a great harvest. And there's a great harvest and there's blessing for your life if you do not allow the enemy to remove you from your secure place that God has for you because of weariness. And so we can come weary. We can come you're just tired, you just get weary of the battle, and if you've been in a battle for a long time, if you've been in a difficult marriage for a long time, sometimes you can get a little bit weary and drift from the place that God has for you. Another reason that we can move from the place is because of deceit. The enemy can come and he can just deceive us and into thinking something we should not be thinking, and all of a sudden we're thinking the wrong way. And that's the strategy of the enemy to move us out of this great place that God has for us. Right here, the Bible says being planted in the house of the Lord is how we flourish. Being planted in God's house with a pastor, being fed the Word of God, worshiping God, being in the structure that God provided, the local church is a safe place to flourish. And somehow we can forget that, or we can be deceived into thinking that maybe we no longer need the local church. Like we can just watch Joel Osteen, and thank God for Joel Osteen. I watch him, you know. But you need the local church where you flourish. You need the local church. And so another thing is forgetfulness. Sometimes we just forget. Last week's message. What are the points of last week's message? Sometimes I forget my own message. I preached it. So if I preach it and I've forgotten it within a week, I mean, the people that are just halfway listening sometimes, they've probably forgotten it too. And so sometimes the enemy steals great truths from our life because maybe we didn't write it down or maybe somehow we forgot. So that's why it's good to take notes and it's good to preach the message back to your wife or to your husband when you get home and to your kids and go over and mull over it and meditate on the Word of God so that the enemy doesn't cause us to forget. Remember what David said, and forget not all of his benefits. Why does the Word of God say that? Because we can forget. So forgiveness, it reminds me of the guy that went to the doctor, and he was about 80 years old, a little under the weather, and he was a single man. His wife had been on to be with the Lord, and so he went to the doctor and told the doctor, the doctor came in, he said, I'm just feeling down, just sluggish, and don't know what's wrong with me. So the doctor told him what to do. And 2 weeks later, he sees the guy walking down the street with a 35-year-old woman under his arm, just happy and chipper. And so the doctor walked up to him and said, he said, how you doing? You look like you're feeling better. He said, oh, doc, ever since you told me to get a hot mama and be cheerful, I've been feeling great. He said, I didn't say that. He said, you have a heart murmur. Be careful. Forget what God has told us. So forgiveness, ignorance sometimes. Some people are deceived just by ignorance. They just don't know. The Bible says don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. He's roaming out there like a lion trying to devour. Don't be ignorant. You know, that just means you're not really aware. It doesn't mean you're stupid. It doesn't mean it just means that you don't know how the devil works. And so none of us know exactly how the devil works. It takes wisdom. It takes years of serving the Lord to see the strategy of the enemy. Oh, I see him. There he is again, trying to come after my marriage. Woo! You start to learn how to defend yourself in God because of experience. Also sin. Sometimes we're in this great place in God, and all of a sudden we look over there and we see something that attracts us. And we think, ooh. Let me try that. So we reach out and we grab sin. And we get a hold of sin and we think, this is it, this is it, this is it. And we get away from God, and that can take us out of our place that God has for us, of victory and of joy. Also other people. It's hard to go through life without having some kind of encounter with people that could be an altercation or could be a difficult situation. And sometimes we get offended or people offend us, and we give up our place and we say, I'm packing my bags. I'm heading out and I'm leaving because it's another person that moves you from your place. Being planted in the house of the Lord is how you flourish, how your kids flourish, how you make a difference in the world, how you change a city, how you help people around the world, how you give turkeys to people on Thanksgiving. It's being part of something bigger than ourselves, and the enemy wants to steal that from us. So sometimes it's just other people. Sometimes we just drift, and before we know it, we're like down the river. We just become lax and we lose focus. And next thing you know, we wake up and we're like so far down the stream, and we're way. I remember the other day I was swimming at my brother's down in South Baton Rouge. He has got a pool in the backyard, and I was swimming, and my son Casey and some of my nephews were all swimming, and I was looking at my son. I was like, man, he's got some nice abs, and that's probably what I look like. You know, we chip off the old block, you know. And I say, you know, he's strong, young fella. And I was like, everybody says he looks like me, you know. And so we kind of looked that way. And then I turned, and I caught a glimpse of myself in a glass kind of that turned into a mirror, which I wish it hadn't, because it just destroyed my self-confidence. When I looked in the mirror and I noticed that my stomach had zero indentions across it just stuck out. I was so discouraged when I saw myself after visualizing myself looking like myself. I was like, oh, yeah, I got a couple years on him and quite a few more pounds. And gravity is taking over, and it's very obvious. It's like, the first thing I want to do was go find a shirt and put it on. But sometimes we just drift. The next thing we know, we're way over here. We're way away from where God wants us to be. So where does God want us to be? The first place that God wants us to be, and the first place He has for us, is in the place of forgiveness. If you like to take notes today, I want you to write that in your blank state. Forgiveness. God wants you to experience His forgiveness and stay there. Stay in the forgiveness of God. If you're far away from God or if you're not in a relationship with God, that's the first place you need to be, is forgiveness. The Bible says this, that being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Well, that just means that when you get your life right with God, peace comes to your heart. So, if your life is not right with God, you're not in your place. And the reason you feel like you do, the reason when you go to sleep at night, you do not have peace and you're searching, you're looking, something does not feel right in your life, is because your sins are not forgiven. And that's God's gift to you. The lack of peace is God's gift so that you will search for the answer. And we know the answer is the forgiveness of our sins because of what Jesus did for us when He died on the cross for our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins so that if we will believe in Jesus and receive the free gift of salvation and forgiveness, we could enter a relationship with God our Father through Jesus. And so the first place that God wants us to take is the place of forgiveness. Everybody say forgiveness. Let's read this verse together out of Psalms 103. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. He forgives 3/4 of my sins. What does it say there? He forgives. Come on, say it out loud. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. My six-pack comes back like the eagles. My youth is renewed. The first place God wants us to be is in the place of forgiveness. The first place. Some of us remember the day we were in church or we were someplace and we surrendered our life to Jesus or we raised our hand in church. We said, God, I'm tired of running from You. I'm ready for You to forgive my sins. And we receive the free gift of forgiveness. Do you remember that day? Come on. If you remember that day, come on, throw your hand up. Let me see you. Okay, you remember that day. Peace came into our life. Before we end this service today, if you're not there, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get in this place of forgiveness. But then as believers, we get to reading the Bible a little bit. And we feel like, okay, I think I'm getting this thing. I got my sins forgiven and it's all good and start serving the Lord. And then we get off into life and we realize that we still live in this flesh. And our spirit was renewed and received life, but the flesh did not change. And the flesh that we live in still wants to do bad things. You're sitting next to a person who wants to do bad things. Yeah. It's like, whoa. Man, they had their arm around me. No, no. We live in the flesh. The flesh is selfish. The flesh has not been changed. One day, this flesh will put on immortality. We won't have that same flesh anymore, but the flesh is there. And now as believers, we can get off away and then make bad decisions. And think, you know what? Man, I know the truth. I knew I shouldn't have done it. Is that place still available for me? I mean, I sinned and I knew what I was doing and kept on doing it. God wants you to know today that this place is still available for you. It's not just for unbelievers. It's for believers. He forgives all of our sin. I remember back when I was in Bible college, I was dating this girl. And on a vacation season, I drove out of state to go see her. And during our time there of seeing each other, we had a moment of fellowship. We had fellowship that turned into something that was not appropriate. And I felt like we did things that were outside of the boundaries of where God wanted us to be. I went against my convictions, and I just want y'all to know she forced me. She forced herself on me. And I was driving back to Bible college thinking, oh, wow, what a terrible Christian. I should be better than this. Have you been sitting in front of a computer watching pornography thinking, I should be better than this? I should be better than this. Fantasizing about other people, you think, I should be better than this. Letting words go, filthy communication out of our mouth. You know, I mean, hey, our flesh is still there. I told everybody in our church I cussed on the golf course, and my pastor, Larry Stockstill, was like around the corner, like, what? What did I say? Thank God he didn't hear me, but God heard me. I don't know which is worse, but God sees everything, isn't that right? Anyway, I was driving home and felt, you ever felt like, what am I doing? What am I doing as a believer? I know better. And I started struggling with this area of forgiveness because I felt like I just didn't feel like I could go there. And on the way home, I stopped and I pulled over on the side of the road and I saw some woods and I thought, I'll just go walking through the woods. Just pray, talk to the Lord about this. You know, I felt bad. I felt convicted. And so I got into the woods and I just fell. I just fell. I was so devastated and so I was so sad and that I had failed the Lord. And you know, I was trying to serve the Lord. I wanted to be a pastor one day. I wanted to be in church serving God, and I thought, man, I just made bad decisions. So I fell and I opened my Bible and just put my face in my Bible and I just started to repent and talk to God about that. And I just wasn't getting to forgiveness. And it's like the Lord was trying to help me, and I lifted up my eyes from the Bible, and my pages were all wet. And I remember reading a scripture about how much God loved me and wanted to forgive my sins. And that has never, ever left me. Some of you this morning, you just need to get back here. And you need to just accept the fact that God has forgiven you. And you've done some pretty terrible things. And we all have. But some people need to get over it. God has completely released you from your mistakes because of Jesus. Because Jesus died and was broken and bruised for your rebellion. Rebellion means that we know better and we do it anyway. So that's about us, all of us. He wants you today to get in the place of forgiveness. How are you not there? How are you living under condemnation when God has provided forgiveness? Where he takes our sin and he wipes it completely away from us so that our thoughts no longer go back to our mistakes in the past, but they go forward to the future of the things that he has for our life. Today, God is getting a few of us past some mistakes in the past. And we're going to receive the forgiveness that Jesus is offering us. Would you do that today? Jesus is asking us. Would you receive the forgiveness that I provided for you? Stop wallowing around in your mistakes from the past and get a ladder at Home Depot and get over it. Because God, your Father, he punished Jesus for that mistake. And no longer is he looking to punish you. He already punished Jesus so you could stay in your place of forgiveness. The second place that God has for us is the place of acceptance, affirmation. It gives us confidence. The Bible says for us to come boldly before the throne, that we're accepted. Some of us that came in this room today, maybe you're somewhere in this room, and when the worship started and a few people started to clap their hands and, you know, raise their hands, you thought you felt a little bit like out of place. You wondered if you could worship God. Could you do that? Can you belong? Look at what the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2. This is such a great scripture. I'm just going to read the first part of it. It says, you are no longer wandering exiles, This is you. You've raised your hand to receive the forgiveness that Jesus offers you. So you're no longer wandering exiles. The kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're a believer. So you're home. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. Think about that. You can put your name, you can put the stamp Christian on you. I know you honked at somebody on the way to church, but you belong. I've heard people say, and you call yourself a Christian, you ought to stand up and say, yep, I sure do. Well, you sure don't act like one. Well, I know it. Sometimes I don't. But I am a Christian. And I belong. In other words, if there's a team, every one of us are picked to be on the team. My daughter, she plays volleyball. My son played football in school. And, you know, they're all, you know, have to make the team. They can get cut, you know. But in God's house, whosoever will, the Bible says, come, you're welcome in. You can belong. And not only can you belong, you are accepted. With all of your hang-ups and all of my issues, I can be accepted by God. God has a place for me of acceptance, of confidence before Him. That I can stay in this place where I feel accepted by God. That I don't have to be on the outside looking in or just, well, this Sunday I'm just going to keep my hands crossed. I'm not sure if I belong. I'm not sure if I can call myself a Christian yet. All I did was say that prayer of salvation. Oh, yes, you can. And God wants you to realize that you belong. You're His family. Well, I'm still making a lot of mistakes. Well, let me tell you, the way God sees you, He sees you through the eyes of Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. All you have to do is just reach up and receive what God has provided for you. Ashley, when she plays volleyball, she always is looking up there to see if we're watching her play. And so we're up there. You know, we embarrass her sometimes, you know. But she's up there, and you know, my wife and I, we're cheering her on. And my son, back when he used to play football too, we were like, throw it to Casey, you know. And he'd catch the ball, you know. We were shouting and screaming and hollering. But when Ashley, when she's serving, we kind of get in a knot in our stomach, you know. Because, you know, hopefully she's going to get it over the net. You know, that's the thing. You got to get it over the net. And so she starts to get over the net. Woo! And she looks up there after she makes a good point. You know, we're cheering her on. Every once in a while, she'll hit the ball and it'll go the wrong way. You know, or she'll hit the ball or she won't get it over the net. And when she does, she looks up there at us and we're like looking up. That's a nice structure in this building. We're looking down, checking her iPhone. We don't make eye contact when, you know. Aren't you that way with your kids? You know? Shake it off. You're good. Shake it off, you know? How could we not think our Heavenly Father is that way with us? Your biggest cheerleader, when you started the Christian journey, the guy on the sideline saying, go, you can do this. Go, you can do this, is God your Father. How would He not accept you? With your hang-ups and your problems and your struggles and your weaknesses, it's okay. He's your Father. He wants you to come back to this place where you know He has accepted you. You don't have to get holy for God to accept you. He's accepted you just like you are. The next place that God has for you is the place of purpose. It's a place of purpose. A meaningful life. When life begins to lose its meaning, you may have left your place. When life seems meaningless, or what you're going through seems purposeless, that might be a sign that you might not be in the place that God has for you. We know Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you. Plans of good and a purpose to do you good. God has plans for your life. When God breathed you into existence, He breathed significance and purpose. And your significance is tied to your purpose. So unless you're in your purpose, you can start to feel insignificant. Like your life does not matter. Let me remind you this morning, your life matters. It matters a lot. What you do with your body matters. What you do with your life, the decisions you make, so important because you were breathed into existence with purpose and significance. And so some people have drifted away, or they were lured away at one time when they were here as believers, like, we love you, Jesus. So our purpose is to be in fellowship with our Heavenly Father. And out of the fellowship with our Heavenly Father, all of a sudden, we start to understand that we were created, number one, for fellowship with the Father. He has every right because He made us. Think about that. He made us for fellowship and to commune with us and to love us and provide for us and to have communion with us. Think about that. Why would God really has no need of us? But He did that. We have need of Him. Isn't that right? So He created us. So He wants to come to our life. And then our purpose is to be involved now with His life and His plan. Because we came from Him. And if we're ever not tied to His purpose and to His plan, our life becomes meaningless. The money we make is meaningless. The things that we do seem trivial or not fulfilling because it's no longer for a purpose for God. It's just for us. So sometimes we were here, we were focused on right and God and fellowship with Him and purpose. Then we just thought that life was all about storing up a bunch of money, buying a house on a lake, and sitting on a back porch and fishing. Purpose. Here it is. Purpose. Pick up our shotgun. Boom! Shoot a deer. Fish. I tell people when I go golfing, I hunt and fish all at the same time. Golf, hunt, and fish. I hunt for my golf ball in the woods and I fish it out of the pond and then I keep hitting it. Let me just encourage you. If purpose and destiny and if you've drifted from your place and now your life is about you, no longer about God's kingdom, whatever you do, you'll end up feeling like this is like not enough to have a house on a lake and a boat. And God's not against that as long as you know what your purpose is. That's not it. It's part of the blessing of God. Thank God. If you have a house on the lake, invite me out. I'll come out. We'll fish together. But that's not our purpose. But sometimes people think that's their purpose. And every effort and everything in life is to store up earthly treasures so that they can be miserable. And people that are miserable at the later parts of their life forgot why God had blessed them. There's people in this room that have the power to make wealth. And God gave you that gift to finance His kingdom. He gave you that gift to go start a business, to support missions, and to build churches, and to give. He gave you that gift not just to fish on a lake and become let your life drift into meaningless. He gave you that gift to make a difference for His kingdom around the world. And then one day when you see Him face to face, He's going to reward you. You're going to have a great celebration. So God knows how to keep your life in the area of purpose and meaningful. The next area is the area of provision. God has a place of provision for your life. Luke chapter 15 tells the story of the prodigal son. And if you're not familiar with the story, the Bible says there were two sons. And one was a little bit rebellious. So he went to his dad and he said, "Dad, I want my inheritance. I'm leaving home." Of course, his dad was brokenhearted, gave him his inheritance, and he left. The Bible says he left his dad's home. He spent all that he had, and he was broke. The Bible said he became hungry. He was malnourished. He finally found a job watching some pigs, and sitting in that pig pen, he started to think about the table where his father his father provided for him. And look at this scripture. It's so interesting. A great scripture for us this morning. The Bible says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food? Even the servants have food to spare. And here I am starving to death. Starving. I will set out and go back to my father. God has a place of provision for us, everything that we need. He has provided for us. We can be full of the joy of God, be complete, feel satisfied. The Bible says he satisfies the longing soul, everything you long for. You're looking for love in that little boy next to you. You ain't going to find it. Come on, married people. Help me out now. Amen. If you're looking for love in people, if you're looking for the true acceptance only God can give you. The Bible says there's two tables. There's the table of the Lord. And then the Bible said there's a table of demons. There's this table out there, and some people are like, Taco Bell's over there, okay, and the demons. And so I grew up in Mexico, like I know good food. Some of you are like, what? I love Taco Bell. And so we're sitting here eating at the, and we decide to kind of leave this table. And we go over here and we start to eat at this table. And now we're like the prodigal son, like anemic, so weak. There's no sin we cannot even resist. We have been malnourished. We're nourishing now on things of the world, on money and pleasure and the things that really don't satisfy our life. And we're like anemic and weak. No longer are we satisfied and full. The place of provision is God's presence. In his presence is fullness of joy, everybody. Fullness of joy. The Bible says that he got up. He said, hey, I'm headed back to the right table. There's food on that table. I'm headed home. And he headed back on home. The Bible says that his father, this is the only place in the scripture that shows the father running. In fact, that was kind of non-kosher or non, it wasn't really appropriate for a man, a grown man to run. Have you ever seen a grown man run? It ain't that pretty, okay? But he ran to his son. To the malnourished son, that might be you today. You've been eating at the wrong table. It's time to come back to the right table. God's presence. How long has it been since you've been in fellowship with him? You started there. You know what it's like to be in the presence of the Lord. You've had a relationship. You've been so close to God. He satisfied your soul to the overflowing. Somehow we started feasting at another table and now we just don't feel the same. The last place God has for us is the place of safety. The place of safety. David said, he's my fortress. He's my high tower where I run to. The place of safety is the place where God has boundaries and principles. When we get out of the principles and we live our life outside of God's principles, our finances, our family, our relationships, it just doesn't work right. So God put boundaries not to hold us in because we're free. He put boundaries and principles so that to keep things out of our marriage, keep things out of our heart, unforgiveness out of our life. So the boundaries are there for a purpose. Some of us drifted over here outside the boundaries and we're getting beat up. We're getting beat up. But God established the boundaries. He said, there's a safe place. Here's a safe place. If you put your finances, if you tithe, you put your finances in the safe place. If you put your marriage in the principles and your relationship under God's principles and morality, then you're in the safe place. But if you're over here outside the boundaries, you open a door to the enemy. No person would open a door to a thief or a robber knowing he was at the door. Isn't that right? So the way to keep the door closed is to stay inside the boundaries. Like, oh, I'm getting back over here. Some of us will be getting pounded. All we might need to do is just shift a little bit over into the boundaries that God has for us and experience the blessing of the Lord that comes by living according to the Word of God. So what do? Number one, we got to know that we have a place. We need to know our place. Do you know you have forgiveness and acceptance? Then secondly, you just got to take our place. We got to get in. Okay, here I am. I'm back in my place. Once I know my place, then I have to make sure I stay in my place. Why? Because the enemy will try to pull me away, so I'm going to stay in my place. Come on, everybody say with me, stay there. I'm going to stay in my place. And then I'm going to thank God for my place. I'm going to worship the Lord. Thank you. You have forgiven me all of my sins. You've accepted me. God, you've provided everything that I need. God, I do not need sin. I don't need to go to the other tables to eat. Lord, you're all I need. And then lastly, I'm just going to tell other people about that great place that he has for me. We'll share my faith with people. I'm going to say, have you ever heard that there's a place that God has for you? Something about praising God for the place he's created for us and then sharing it with other people. Maybe this week you need to share this thought with somebody. Can you think of anybody that may be out of their place? All they need to know is they're welcome home. And they can come home. Maybe today you're there and maybe God's speaking to you. I'm going to ask you if you just close your eyes just for a moment. I want to pray for you this morning. I'm just going to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, is there something that I'm supposed to take away from this today? God, are you saying something to me? I hope you know how much God loves you. He loves you so much. He's created such a phenomenal place for us as believers. If we will take full advantage of that, while you Christians are praying, I'm going to talk to you in this room that are not in a relationship with God. If you're here this morning, you're not in a relationship with God, let me tell you, God is glad you're here, and so are we. Today, maybe the first thing you need to do is you need to take your first place. You need to step into forgiveness that God is offering you today. And maybe you've been in church and you know what to say to God to come back to God if you've been away from God. Or maybe you've never said a prayer to receive forgiveness from God. I'm going to lead you in a short prayer if you've never said that prayer before. So right there where you're at, you can say it out loud or you can say it in your heart. It really only matters. This is just you and God. If you really mean it, that's all that matters. So right there where you're at, if you're not in a relationship with God, but you know something's missing in your life, you know it. God is speaking to you. He wants you to get in your place of forgiveness of sin so that peace can come to your life. Would you say these words to God? You say, dear God, that's me. Today I receive the forgiveness of my sins. I confess today with my mouth that Jesus, you are my Lord. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. Thank you. Today I receive that free gift. From this day forward, I repent and I turn towards you. And from this day forward, I belong to you and I will follow you in Jesus' name. Now, believers, with your head bowed, I'm going to continue. I want to pray for you also. Father God, I know you're speaking to people in this room today in one of these areas. Most of all, God, I pray you'd set people free from their past. Things that try to hold on to them, bring condemnation or a sense of being unqualified. Thank you, Father, for breaking the chains and the attachment for their past by the blood of Jesus. May it be broken this morning. Father, I pray that every person would leave this room, Lord, knowing that their sins are forgiven. If they will just receive it. If they would just say, yes, Jesus, forgive my sins and turn towards you, Lord, their sins are forgiven. And God, I pray for every person. Lord, those that are just lacking something in their life and they're believers, good people. But they know something's missing. Somehow they drifted from the table. And God, I pray that you would restore. Come on, just put your hands out in front of you right there where you're at. God, I pray that you would restore back the intimacy, Lord, that they had at one time with you. You satisfy the longing soul, and in your presence is fullness of joy. Bring us back to our first love. Bring us back to the table, Jesus. Well, all we needed was you. Bring us back, Lord, to the fellowship, God, that when nothing mattered in our life, our focus was on you and on your kingdom, God. Help us to think the right way. Lord, bring our marriages into the area of safety and relationships, God, I pray. Lord, I thank you for filling us anew and afresh. Come on, just stretch your hands up towards the Lord now. Just begin to receive from God. God, I thank you for filling us anew and afresh with your Spirit this morning. We need you. God, we need you so bad in our life. You're everything for us. God, fill us anew and afresh with joy, the joy overflow, God. I pray for strength. I pray for your blessing, Lord, on your church family this morning, Father, your people, Lord. Bless them indeed. God, let your hand be with us, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen, everybody. Can we clap our hands today and thank the Lord for what he's provided for us? Amen.